When I came to Ravenna, I didn't call it Ravenna, but when I came to Ravenna, I did not come here for church. I did not come here because preacher was great. I came here because I was after his daughter. I got her too, buddy. But I'm good looking. That's, whatever. And when I first came here, God's honest truth, I had no idea what John 3:16 was. No clue. It wasn't very long after that that Pastor Skyver decided to give me a shot at the teenagers. I started out with 3. Never forget it. Actually started out with 11, and then 8 of them left. They've been leaving ever since, praise the Lord. But golly, that was a long time ago. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for Bethel Baptist Church. It said over and over and over again, every time preachers come here, if you can't preach at Bethel, you need to pack it in. It is the easiest place to preach in the whole wide world. And I've got the opportunity for 20 years to preach here. The easiest place to preach. We can spit, we can stammer, we can say the wrong things, and you've got some goober preachers here. But boy, what an honor. Thank you, Bethel. I don't even know what to say. He got me. Honestly, he got me. I've never been got. That was it. I had no expectations of anything of that nature. I know that it's 20 years in October. I couldn't tell you the day, but I know it's 20 years. And it's been a blessed 20 years. God bless your hearts. Not everybody was here 20 years ago, but those of you that was here 20 years ago, you might remember my first message was One Lord. And I preached as a kid. It had no suit. Honest to goodness, I didn't have a suit. I didn't own a suit. I came, and the preacher bought me my shirt and my tie. All I came with is a pair of suspenders and a pair of pants. And he still let me marry his daughter. Can you believe that? But I came here, listen, I came here the very first time. It was an Easter service. Dr. Jim Delaschmidt was here. I mean, could you start out any better than that? So I came here, Dr. Jim Delaschmidt, for the message. I came, no suit coat. And all I had, was I wore a lot of T-shirts and golf shirts. And preacher looked at me and said, what is the matter with you? This is what, as my church, this is what I got. He said, well, let's go get you a shirt and tie so you can look halfway decent at church. And he came with... No. He's been taking me to Goodwill ever since, I'll tell you that. But glory to God. And there, by the way, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. I like Goodwill. I really, really do. But he took me to JCPenney because that, believe it or not, that's where Tammy worked when I first came here. He used to drive. And you drove there because the Village store was right across the street from JCPenney. He cried every time, I got to take you to work again. But he's made an hour out of it and went there to the Village store, so it really wasn't horrible for him. But he got me from JCPenney, got me a shirt and tie, and I preached my first message in that shirt and tie because I had nothing else to wear. I literally didn't have a suit. I got my first suit at Christmas at their house. We never had Christmases. See, you got to understand something. I came from a house where Christmas was underwear and a candy cane. I'm not kidding. An orange maybe fall from the tree once in a while, but other than that, we got nothing. And I come here, and it's like Macy's parade. You had stacks of gifts 16 feet high, and everybody, oh, man, look, I got a VCR. I got 2 suits. I mean, I was loaded. I said, man, I'm never leaving this place. Praise the Lord. But he came to me. He came to me, and I was getting ready to go home. And I promise I'll start preaching in a minute. He came to me and said, he said, David, how much money do you have? I was excited. I said, Dad, I've got $10. He looked at me. He said, you're an idiot. He said, you're going to travel from Toledo. And by the way, back then, you could go on the turnpike for a $5 bill, Toledo, here to Toledo. So $5. I had 5 extra dollars. I'm excited about 5 extra dollars. I can stop and get me something to eat on the way to work. And he says, you're an idiot. Never had anything like it. He pulled out money out of his wallet and said, here, take this. And I said, man, I'll be back next week. But he has been the greatest father-in-law in the whole wide world. But he's been the greatest pastor in the whole wide world. In the whole wide world. Us preachers, don't make light of having the opportunity to serve with him. He is literally shows you how to love people. And I hate to tell you, you are not easy all the time to love. Take your Bibles with me. Turn to John 14. 20 years. Can you believe you've put up with me for 20 years? Can you believe that? Some of you have been here 20 years, and you honestly can't believe it. I know Ed and Liz were here. Myrtle's been here. I can't believe you put up with me this long without jacking my jaw once or twice. Arlene, yes, ma'am. Arlene, she's starting to forget, so it's being easier for her. When I moved here, Grandma was 90, and that was, you know, praise the Lord. You know who I'm talking about. John chapter 14, let's all stand together, get to the Word of God. Golly, thank you, church. John chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I hope you understand that's talking to the saved people. And I hope you understand if you're saved, it's talking to you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen. That's not a hope so. That's not a maybe. I will come again. Amen. He's coming again. It'll be very soon, by the way. Yes. I don't think I have another 20 years here. I don't. I believe the rapture is coming real soon. Yes. You tell me, show me a passage of Scripture that can lead me to believe it's not imminent. Show me. I can't find prophecy that says anything's holding him back. He could come at any moment. I will come again and receive you unto myself. He's going to take us to him. Glory to God, that's good stuff. That where I am, there ye may be also. Man, God is good. We're going to talk about four different parts of your life today. And I believe you're going to be able to recall four different parts of your life in this message today. And I'm going to challenge you to keep serving God. I had no idea that we were doing this today, but I believe this goes right with it. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Brother Carl McDaniel, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. I'm not going to give you the title yet because I don't want to ruin the ending. But I want to start out with a great, great encouragement. A great encouragement is simply this. Did you know John 14, 1 through 6 is real? Yeah. Now, I'm saying that to you because a lot of times in our Christian lives, we act like it's not. A lot of times in our Christian lives, we spend more time fretting and worrying and upset about the way this world is going. Let me tell you something. Let not your heart be troubled. He looks back from the past. And the great thing about God is he's always, you say back to front, front to back, God is always. He's always here. He's always been. He's always will be. God has never ceased to exist. There's never going to be a time that he's not in charge. And I'm going to tell you right now, let not your heart be troubled. I don't care how this old world's going. There will be a day where we are delivered. We live in a world today that is getting crazy. I mean crazy. where you're allowing the homosexual crowd to not just be part, to be revered, held up as hero. In a world where we're allowing things to take place that would have never taken place before. No way. I'm telling you, God's looking down from heaven. He's saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I am coming someday to deliver you. Deliver you from this place of torment and hurt and pain. Deliver you from this place where sin is running rampant. Deliver you from this place and take you to where I am. Glory to God, that's good stuff. Yeah. To take you to a place someday where you can see Him. To take you to a place someday where you can walk with Him and talk with Him. What a great God we serve. There's going to be a day when we have ultimate deliverance. Where we're taken out of this body. Glory to God. I'm making room for two bodies. Trying my best to stay one body. But everybody is somebody. So I'm going to be two somebodies. Ah, quit laughing at me, Jimmy. I'll post you up, son. I am so thankful that there's going to be a day when God takes me from here and takes me to there, standing on the portals of glory saying, come up hither! And we... And if you don't know the Lord as Savior, you're going to be left behind here. You're crazy. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're crazy. Because I don't want to stay here when all the Christians are gone. I don't want to stay here when God leaves. Are you nuts? As crazy as it is when God's here? You want to be here when God's gone? I'm going to tell you, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior today, the ultimate deliverance is not coming to you. Forget about Baptist. Forget about Independent Fundamental. Forget about Bible Believer. You better accept Christ. Say, well, I'll wait until I get right to accept Christ. No, you won't. You're never going to be right. Believe me, Independent Fundamental Baptist preachers are the wrongest people I know. Believe me, you're not going to get right. Get saved. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, get saved and get saved today. Don't you wait another minute. Because I'm telling you, Christ could come right now. Wouldn't it be great? Could you imagine all you guys wearing tuxedos and Christ comes back? Woo-hoo-hoo! Jesus said, hey, what'd you guys get all dressed up for? Oh, we knew the rapture was coming. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? He's coming back. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. There's a day when I won't have to preach another funeral. There's a day, you just preached one. How'd that go, by the way? Did it? Bobby Shell got to preach a funeral. It's an opportunity. But I'm going to tell you, those days are coming to an end. Where there's no more tears. Man, won't that be great? God's going to wipe them all away. No more sorrows. Whew. You Cleveland fans will be happy about that. Man back there's an Alabama fan. He hadn't known sorrow in years. Let me tell you something. No pain. You're going to be delivered someday from pain. I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm talking about your physical pain. You're going to be delivered someday from your pain. Watching you limp around, watching you hurt, hearing all the stories of cancer and of suffering and of being sick. Tommy, no more hospital visits. Annie, no more knee surgery. I'm going to tell you right now, we live in a place where sin has made us live a certain way and had certain things happen to us. But someday, glory to God, we're going to get delivered. No more worries. The biggest thing on your agenda is walking the streets of gold. The biggest thing on your agenda is shouting, holy, holy, holy. The biggest thing on your agenda is staying away from Independent Fundamental Baptist Corner because it's crazy down that street. Because we shout here. I'm sorry.
I wish you'd be a little quieter, preacher.
I'm sorry. You're going to be put right next to me in heaven. And every day, you're going to say, Where's the police number? Because that man over there's nuts. Because if you think I got a loud voice now, wait till you hear my glorified voice. Woo! I want to scream out something to praise the Lord and to peel the paint right off your walls. Mine's going to be gold. Yours is painted. Someday, we're going to have ultimate deliverance where this world will no longer have a hold on us. Isn't that good? Rest. How many wish you could get some rest? Whew. The day's coming when sin will be gone. Man, won't that be great? No more sin. Can you imagine no more sin? Not you committing them, because glory to God, most of you don't commit any. Because you're trying to think of ones that you have right now. Preacher, I don't seem to remember a sin that I've committed in the last 3 months. You just ruined it right there. No more sin. Not even thoughts. Can you imagine that? God, as far as the east is from the west, is going to put us in a place that sin does not exist. Even imagine that. But it's coming. Where we step out of time and into eternity. No alarm clocks. Amen. Oh, come on now. That's the best you got. No alarm clock. Woo-hoo-hoo! Because I'm going to tell you, when my alarm clock goes off, it's still dark outside. And I've got the most annoying alarm clock ever made by human. I've got to put it 8 feet away from me because if I don't, I'll kill it. I know I'm the only one that wakes up bad in the morning, right? I roll over and I just want to go. So I put it far away so I have to get out of bed to turn it off. I don't hit snooze because if I snooze, I lose. I'm going to tell you, I cannot wait to step out of time. You ever wish you had more than 24 hours in a day? Huh? Wait till you have eternity. Isn't that going to be a wonderful deliverance? You ever think about those things? Eating Twinkies and not getting sick. No lactose intolerance. Don't have to worry about being gluten-free. Huh? Because wheat is killing everybody. It is. And it's bad for you. But I can't wait to be in a place where it's no longer bad for you. And you vegetarians are going to have to find something else to do because we're eating steak. Praise God.
Yeah. Now that'll work.
Well, I like vegetables good, and I imagine they're going to taste just right in heaven, and I like them too. But if there ain't a piece of meat sitting next to the vegetables, it ain't dinner. Praise the Lord. Man, this ain't preaching at all. This is just having fun. Well, let me tell you, that's what heaven is going to be like. Heaven is going to be worshiping the one that died for you, seeing him, knowing that this is really true. And some of you walk around with doubts every day that this is not going to happen. Well, I'm telling you, it's coming. We're going to get delivered from this place.
Amen.
But beyond ultimate deliverance, there's daily. In your lives, every day, there's daily. Sometimes, number two, sometimes there's instant deliverance. Isn't that good? Isn't it good? When, like the feeding of the 5,000. Can you imagine being there? Instant. We're hungry. Let's eat. Amen? Wasn't that great? Feeding the 5,000. How about Jairus' daughter? She's dead. She's alive. Instant. God said, now, this is what's going to happen. Now, right now. Cast your nets for a draught. Fish come up. Isn't that wonderful? In your life, in my life, I can think of times when God has given me instant deliverance. Where there's something that I needed, God supplied. You ever seen that before? You need God supplies. You need God. Boy, that's good. And I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, you brag about it. Tell me I'm wrong. Well, look what God did for me. I needed a car. This is what he gave me. And amen. And I'm for it. Believe me. I'm for it. I wish you all had something new. Really. I wish you all had deliverance instant every day. And it's wonderful when it comes, and it's spectacular when it comes. But let me draw your attention to one thing. If you want to put all your chips on instant deliverance, he fed 5,000 the first time. How many feed the second? 4,000. I don't know about you. Why didn't the number go from 5 to 10? Huh? Be very careful wishing for instant deliverance. It might take you away from the Lord. Because then the Lord becomes your genie. Instant deliverance is wonderful. Instant deliverance is fantastic. And it happened. It's happened in my life where I needed money and God provided. I needed, boy, I had to have it. Oh, man, if I don't have it, I don't know what we're going to do. And God provided. And I gave God glory. And by the way, you should too. Because God gives a deliverance, not you. God gives a deliverance, not luck. God gives a deliverance, not coincidence. God takes care of you. I said, God takes care of you. You act like God doesn't take care of you, but God does take care of you. He just may not take care of you in the way you think God ought to take care of you. The third point, there's going to be ultimate deliverance. Sometimes there's instant deliverance, but sometimes deliverance takes a while. I want you to think with me about Egypt. Israel went there. From what? Why did they go there? Because there was famine. Amen? God prepared a place called Goshen. He prepared a place for them to be there, and they were there. But can I ask you something? We know the greatest deliverance, apart from a soul that gets saved, is Israel out of Egypt. They named a book after it, for goodness sake, called the Exodus. The great, great, wondrous deliverance. 2 million or so people, I've heard many numbers put to it, but let's say 2 million people delivered out of it by the hand of God, the mighty hand of God. But Jimmy, I got a question for you. I'm putting you on the spot now, son, so think good. How many years were they there in bondage? 4 times 100 is what? 400 years of bondage. Do you know not everybody lived through the 400 years? Wait. Not everybody lived. That means some people died without deliverance. Some people never saw it. Some people during the 400 years of waiting didn't get a chance to see it. Christian, can I ask you a question? Have there been times in your life when God's delayed your deliverance some? He didn't give you what you wanted right away. He didn't make it all work out right away. Sometimes he holds up a little bit. Sometimes he doesn't give you what you ask for right away or what you need right away. Sometimes God doesn't make a way for you to be delivered immediately. I get sick and tired of hearing the prosperity preaching garbage. The Joel Osteens of the world making you all feel good so you'll dump $100 million in his Kentucky Fried Chicken offering plate buckets. So you walk out still empty, fully expecting that if you do what he said, God will give you prosperity. Let me explain something to you. That kind of prosperity is not what God is talking about. You can be poor as old Job's turkey. I don't even know what that means. I've heard that a million times. What does that mean? Poor as old Job. That's a West Virginia statement, as long as a day is long. I have no idea what that means. Glory to God, hallelujah. I just must want turkey right now. I don't know what it is. Thanksgiving's coming, glory to God. But understand this. The deliverance did not come right away. And sometimes your deliverance doesn't come. And the prosperity, the thoughts that you think that you should have millions of dollars might not come ever. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't prosper you. Many people have put thousands of dollars in these plates. But let me tell you something. Do you know who God talked about in his Bible? The widow. The widow gave very little in our eyes, but everything in God's eyes. She was giving what she had. She was prosperous. The lady that took the pound of spikenard, the ointment, and broke it and used it on Jesus. Well, bless God, that's a big fat waste of money. That's what they said. But that could be, and this is what a lot of us would do. Well, bless God, if you would sell that spikenard ointment very much. You could give it to the poor. You know, I'd rather have you lavish it on Jesus Christ. I'd rather have you use what you have for Christ. And by the way, let me explain something to you. You may not think the deliverance is good, and you may not think that it's right, but maybe God knows that it's good and right. Can I help you? Some of you couldn't stand to be rich. I don't know what got me on money today, preacher. I really don't. But you know, some of you couldn't stand being rich. It would change you. It would make you different. It would make you not want to serve God. I know that in the back of our minds, if you were given $1 million, $100,000 would come right to the church. I know that's what you're thinking. I would do it because I'm a giver. Well, let me tell you, why aren't you giving $500,000 to the church? Oh, no, you're talking about money to the church. No, I'm talking about what you want to do for Christ. See, we talk about our prosperity, but would it take us away from the service of God? I wonder if God knows what you can handle. That went over badly. But let me say it again. I wonder if God knows you better than you know you. I wonder if God only wants what's best for you. I got to be honest with you. I got 3 babies. Wonderful children. I don't deserve any one of them. I really don't. I am blessed beyond measure to have my children, every last one of them. Can't believe God let me have good kids. As much of an ornery rascal as I was growing up, I can't believe my kids are good. And I have good kids. So you get mad at me all you want to. I've got good kids. And by the way, I don't think it's wrong to brag on some good kids once in a while. I get a little tired of running teenagers up here that have been through drugs and been through alcohol and been through all these. Well, bless God, we got delivered. And there's nothing wrong with talking about them being delivered from those things. But would to God we could stream 65 teenagers up here that never took part. Talk about kids that never got in a mess. Talk about kids that never had sex before marriage. Talk about kids that never kissed lips before marriage. And I'm talking to some kids in here. I would to God that we could talk about the deliverance that God has given us that we didn't ask for. This is good preaching if you hear it. And Bethel, let me tell you, we've come a long ways. But there's still some work to do. You've got to say amen to that. You know that in your life, sometimes the expectations we have of God are not quite right. Amen? Sometimes we expect God to jump when we say jump. And some of us even get worse. And you tell God to jump and you're expecting God to, how high would you like me to jump? I'm going to tell you, the Lord doesn't work that way. There's going to be ultimate deliverance, and God has gone to prepare a place for us. Let me tell you, He's a good builder. And sometimes He gives you things instantly. Isn't that great? When you need it, it's there. And preachers have millions of stories of instant deliverance. And there's times when you're in the middle of something, and this is a side note, you're in the middle of something bad. And you're in the middle of needing something deliverance, and you get a preacher, never fails. You get somebody come here to talk about his deliverance. And you say, and you look at that preacher and say, well, that's because you're a preacher, jerk. I'm in the middle of my problem. I've never been delivered. I've never been delivered fast either, buddy. Because you don't see how good God's been to you. I can't explain the bad things that happen. Nobody can, by the way. And don't sit there and try to figure it out. You know, America's got a problem right now, and it's trying to figure out where the blame lies. It never lies with the person that's at fault. Somebody say amen to me. We want to put it somewhere else. The blame is obviously Austin Shells. It's got to be his problem. If he wasn't here, it'd be wonderful. When the problem is really staring you in the mirror. You know, it's amazing. We worry about so much. This is what my philosophy has become since we started the school. I don't care who's to blame. How do we fix it? What's the difference? I don't care. I don't care who's to blame. And sometimes maybe I should. But at the end of the day, how do we fix the problem? Christian, what's going on in your life? Quit looking for the blame and fix it. Kid brings home an F on the report card. I'm going to be honest with you, parents. Quit coming to me. This is going to go over really worse than any of the other ones, by the way. If your kid gets an F on the report card, don't come to me. Don't come to your mirror. Let me help you. It lies in the child. It lies in the child. Yes, as parents, you should do your best to get your child to do your homework. I'm one of them that sits with my son every day looking for deliverance. Deliverance does not come because I want to teach my son that you must do what you are asked. Quit telling your child. I'm going to step back a few more paces. Quit telling your child you got a stupid teacher. Do it.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for your approval as principal of Bethel. Boy, this is bad. I'm so sorry. This may sound arrogant, but I got to let you know. I've got an example of two kids this year right now. Two kids this year right now that are doing it that have never done it before. You say what you want to say. It's not about me. It's not about that. It's about the kids have made a decision in their life that they don't want to be F students anymore. And guess what? They're not. They're not getting their name on the homework board anymore. They're not doing, I'm telling you right now, they're doing what they're supposed to do. And they're finding great deliverance. I'm going to tell you, you say, well, you're being hard on the kids right now. I need to be hard on you. I need to be hard on you. Let me tell you something. I get sick and tired of the kids all the time with their headphones on their nose and on the back of their head. Your ears aren't there. You can't smell the words coming out of the earphones. I get sick and tired of the kids. And they're just kids that are very close to being adults. How would you like me to be? Oh, Michael, you came in sixth place. Here's a wonderful trophy for your mediocrity. You may not like it, but in this world, you are not afforded trophies for sixth place in the workforce. They've got to get it right now. And Christians and our adolescents need to learn immediately. You better learn how to pray. You better learn how to read your Bible, because I can't read it for you. You got to learn how to study. You got to learn how to work. You got to learn how to know God, because if you don't learn it and you don't do it, you'll never get it. And we as preachers can sit up here and patsy around and pussyfoot and try to cover it with sugary water all we want, but it won't fix it. You got to do it. You got to do it. Austin, who got your A's? Say that louder, son. Who got your A's? I didn't get his A's. I couldn't have got his A's. Physics and are you kidding me? He was teaching me. Say what you want to say. I got dumb fast. I did, Brother Dave, Mr. Pat, could you show me? No, son, grab the book. You're going to do that on your own. I don't know. At physics, I have no clue. The ninth graders at your school right now, Bethel Baptist Christian, the ninth grade curriculum got changed. They're taking physics now in ninth grade. I've got no idea already. But I want them to be better. Better. I'm picking on. I don't care. I don't care. Kyle, you've impressed me this year, son. You've impressed me this year. Why? Because you're doing it. Your mama's not doing it for you. Your daddy's not doing it for you. I'm not doing it for you. I could never do it for him. Never. I tried like crazy. I'd saddle, I'd beat him. But come on. Never. He'd come to school every day. But not this year. This year, he's never been on the board. I don't care. Get mad at me all you want to. I don't care. He's never been on the board. He's done his homework. He's done his best. And I might be wrong here. I might be absolutely wrong, but I don't believe I am. This kid's turned his grades around. Amen. Mama didn't turn him around. Amen. Daddy didn't turn him around. He turned him around. Kyle right here, this Kyle, has turned him around. Who's doing it, Kyle? Who? Who? You want deliverance, Christian. Let me ask you a question. Can Brother Dave do it for you? Well, this is good stuff if you pay attention. Can Brother Dave do it for you? You want to get closer to God? Can I get closer to God for you? Can I read the Bible for you? I could stand up here and recite it to you, but you'd be asleep in 10 minutes, just like him. Do not wake him up. He's my favorite kid in the whole wide world. You leave him right where he's at. Let me tell you something right now. If you want to get close to God, quit crying about we're not getting enough from church. Yep. Oh, boy. Somebody say amen to me. Quit crying. I had people leave this church and we're just not being fed. That's because you're not coming with your mouth open, dummy. I'm going to tell you right now, you get more from the Bible here than you're going to get down the street. I guarantee you that. And let me tell you something right now. If you don't come hungry, you're not going to eat. I can't serve God for you. You've got to serve God for you. If you want deliverance, you got to go and get it. Why isn't God close to me? Because you're not seeking him. Then my last, and I'm about wore out, and you're happy. By the way, the man at the pool waited 38 years. He was sick with an infirmity 38 years. You won't last for 3.8 days without cursing God. This man lasts 38 years. 38 years in physical pain. 38 years not being able to get deliverance. 38 years waiting by the pool for some man to come along and put him in the water. Waiting 38 years and then Christ comes. Have you ever had that in your life? Oh, come on. Have you ever had that in your life where then Christ comes? I've had many times in my life where I can tell you I knew Christ came. I'm not talking salvation. I'm talking, and here's the thing. Why did he have to come? Why wasn't I there with him? Amen? I mean, it's a simple process, folks. Christ is always there. It's us that are sometimes absent. He waited 38 years, but then he got deliverance. He crawled in there on his hands and knees, and he ran out. That's deliverance. Number four. Turn with me to Daniel, please. We're going to be chapter 3. Man, God is good. Whew. God is so good. Can I ask you a question, Christian? What if deliverance doesn't come? Doesn't say anywhere where it has to. We'll have ultimate deliverance. That has to come. But do you know, deliverance is not absolutely promised to you, except for deliverance from, and when you're, because you're saved. That's promised. Glory to God for that. But do you know earthly deliverance is not promised? He'll fill your needs. But it's amazing how our needs aren't good enough being filled. Me too. I want you to think with me. I want you to look at Daniel chapter 3. And I'm going to tell you, I saw these verses and I want you to forget. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. By the way, that's not their names. But we're gonna go. It's Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. That's their names. But their Babylonish names, the one we remember, are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I guarantee you, they're not happy every time they get called that. But I want you to see Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 16. Now you remember, please remember with me what happened to these three boys. These three boys were told that they must pray to this image. If you do not pray to this image, you will be burned in a fiery furnace. That is the decree. The decree from the king cannot be broken. The decree from the king was as strong as the gospel back in those days. It really was. You couldn't change it. Even the king, once he set up a law from the king himself had to, because of being the king, had to follow that law. He had to do what he said he had to do. Even when he didn't want to do it, he had to do it because he was the king. And you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I'm not going to work. I'm going to keep on praying, and I'm going to keep on not praying to your image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse number 16, answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now let me ask you a question. If I came up here and said to you, everything I've taught you about the King James Bible is wrong. Be careful now. Just stick with me. If I came up here and told you that homosexuality was just fine. If I came up here and said to you, alcohol is good. The vast majority, thank God, are strong enough that you'd throw me out of here. Glory to God. You ought to. Who am I? But there are some that would praise the Lord. I hope it's not you. I hope you have faith enough like these three boys to say, get out of here. But let's make it worse. Let's say that you are threatened with physical harm for your faith. If you mention the name of Christ, you're in danger of your life. It would be easy for us to sit in there and say, well, bless God, I would stand up for Christ. But you're not in that position right now. Let's make it worse. What if they took your kids? Now, this, oh, Brother Dave, you were so happy a minute ago. But let me tell you something. I want to show you something about these boys. I want you to forget about what happens at the end of this story. It's real, by the way. This really happened. But I want you to forget for a moment that there were four loose and one looked like Jesus. I want you to forget about that for a moment. Can you forget about that just for one moment? We forget about everything else. We certainly can forget about this for 1 second. I want you to see this. If it be so, if you do this, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You serve a God that is able to deliver them and able to deliver you. You serve a God that has the ability at any moment to take you out of the situation you are in, no matter what the situation may be. He's strong enough, wise enough, good enough, powerful enough to deliver you. Thank God for that. But verse 18 starts out, but if not, what happens if there's no deliverance, Christian? Look at this now. You need to see their attitude and forget about what happened. You need to see the attitude, what if deliverance never comes? You know how many times I've heard people tell me that they left church because they got hurt? And let me explain something to you. We love people here. I've never seen anything like it. I really haven't. Bethel loves people. If you want to find a church where you're cared about, this is the one. At least that's what I've seen. But I've heard lots of folks leave because they got hurt. They got hurt by the preacher. They got hurt by me. They got hurt by one of the wives. Somebody hurt them. By the way, it does happen. I hate to tell you, it does happen. You stay in. I promise you, I have hurt people over the last 20 years. I guarantee you, I have hurt people with my words, with my actions, what have you. I guarantee you, I've hurt people, and maybe even some in this room I've hurt. Did you know I never set out to do that? And if you'd be honest, in your life, you never set out to hurt anybody either. It does happen, and you've probably done it yourself, but I can guarantee you that you didn't want to do it. And I never wanted to hurt anybody ever in my entire life, but there are times that I've done it. But just because you got hurt is no excuse to leave the church. Just because you got hurt is no reason to leave Jesus Christ's service. Just because you got hurt is no reason to withdraw from the army. Just because you got hurt, I'm telling you right now, you guys that served in the military, Brother Marty, when your DI told you something and it made you mad and you might have got hurt, did you just walk away? Do you know why you didn't walk away? Because you got the fire beat out of you then. He wasn't allowed to withdraw from the army just because he got hurt. He wasn't allowed to go away from what he was doing. Why? Because this is what you're called to do. And if you'd be honest, there's been days when God has told you, what are you doing? Why are you not serving God? Why are you missing church? Because my deliverance didn't come. But if not, look at this first verse. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king, but if not, do you know your deliverance may not come? Huh? Your deliverance may not come. You may not get satisfaction, Christian. Amen, stop now. You may not get satisfied. If it makes you feel better to come up here and punch me in the mouth, go right ahead. But they're not going to get satisfaction. If not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. What if your deliverance doesn't come? Do you stop serving Christ because your deliverance didn't come? Do you stop serving Christ because now you believe he doesn't take care of us? Now, wait a minute. If anybody had the right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego getting ready to get thrown into the fiery furnace that killed the two men that threw them in, make it seven times hotter. Where you at, God? The furnace is right here. In their mind, the deliverance miss, Liz, was probably not to go in the furnace at all. God, kill that king. We're about to get cooked. God, slay these men. Don't make me go in. God, turn the furnace off. God, and then they go in. In your life, you know it. You know I'm telling you the truth. There's times that it didn't turn out like you thought it should. God, put out the fire. God, take the men away. God, kill the king. God, do something. And God never did. They went in. Do you know sometimes God's got to put you through fire? And we ought to go through the attitude of life. The attitude of, do you know why people serve in the bus ministry for, what is it? It's probably a century between you two men. Do you know why? Because it doesn't matter. All the outside things don't matter. God's called him to drive the bus. Yeah. Amen. Has there been times that he's not been pleased? Has there been times that he's not real happy? We have winter here. I'm sure that's bad enough. Has there been times when he didn't want to do it? Has there been times he didn't want to show up? Has there been? Maybe. But I'm not going to stay home when I got kids to bring. Has there been times when it hasn't gone your way? Has there been times when the things, let me tell you, I can come to you and say, God will deliver you. But that's not necessarily so. Do you know the true test of a Christian is the one that serves God anyhow? Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Laying in the bed at the hospital when he was not in a coma, he was telling people about Christ. And you can sit there and say, well, he put himself in the hospital because of his habits or whatever. You know what? Stick that. You know where to stick it. Didn't make it any easier on him. And there he was, showing me, showing this preacher, how to be a Christian. And as I thought of Annie Davis, she's about to have ultimate deliverance. But do you know she's in pain every day? Every day. And what does she do? She prays for you. She's not getting deliverance. She's not getting deliverance from the pain that she's currently suffering. She knows she's going to get ultimate deliverance. She knows it. But do you know she's serving God anyhow? This is my challenge to you. If deliverance does not come, serve God anyhow. Don't make your service to God contingent on his reward to you. You can write that down if you want. Don't make your service to God contingent upon what He gives you in return. Can we go back quickly to John chapter 14? But if not, oh God, if not, I'm still going to serve God. If not, I don't care. If not, hey, I don't care what the whole wide world does. You're never going to get me to tuck tail on this Bible. I don't care if I lose my friends. I don't care if I lose the church. I don't care if I lose the people I know. I don't care if I lose everything. I'm not giving up on this old book. And I don't care if listen, Paul had every right in the world to complain. He didn't get delivered out of stoning. He didn't get delivered out of shipwreck. He didn't get delivered. I said, well, he made it. Oh, that's real comforting, you Pharisaical giant. As he's getting stoned and left for dead, he knew he was going to live. That's wonderful. You break a nail and stay home from church. Aren't you glad you came? Chapter 14, verse 1. While you're waiting on payment from God to serve Him. While you're waiting. Can I read this to you? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I believe I have a shed, but a lot of folks get mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. I said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I'm coming back for you. That where I am, there ye may be also. I'm all done. What if your deliverance doesn't come? If you'll be honest with me, Christian, your deliverance has already come. He owes us no more than what He's already done. And in truth, He didn't owe us that. If your deliverance doesn't come, and it may not, serve God anyhow. Somebody is depending on it. Some little snot-nosed 10-year-old, 11-year-old. Somebody is going to come that needs you. And if you're waiting on payment from God, you might miss it. Your deliverance may not come. But God's always taken care of you, and He always will. Keep serving God anyhow. Are you going to quit? Are you going to quit serving God because somebody said something made you mad? Huh? Are you going to quit? Why do you serve anyhow? Do you serve to make people happy? I quit doing that a long time ago. I served here for 3 years trying to make that man happy. Really, honest to goodness, I served here for 3 years trying to make him proud of me. Do you know what? I was serving the wrong guy. I decided, you know what? I better make God happy. Because if I make God happy, He will be happy. And I got to be honest with you. Don't worry about making people happy. Worry about making God happy. You make God happy, He'll take care of the rest. And if you don't get deliverance, if you're going through some hard times, if you're going through some difficult issues, if you're going through them, don't stop serving God. Don't quit. Because if you quit, who's going to take your place? If you quit, if He decided that Galena Street wasn't worth it, if He decided that having that church down there wasn't worth it, and there were trials there. I know He tells you about all the good stuff. But His gas was shut off. They had no heat, no food. God took care of them. But I'm going to tell you, there were times that were very difficult. He started that church from nothing. He didn't take over a church that was bounding with people. He started out with His family. And I'm going to tell you right now, there were some difficult times. But I thank God, because if He didn't start that, where would I be today? Let me help you a little bit further. Where would you be today? Christian, your deliverance may not come. But I'm telling you, don't quit on Him. Maybe he's trying you out. Maybe he's trying you out. Well, preacher, I already gave up on God once. That's all right. He's ready for you to come and try again. That's the great thing about God. You mess up, he loves you. He's willing to give you a second chance after second chance, 55,000 chances. Just come and serve him. Get involved. He needs you. God doesn't need anything. Yes, he does. He needs you. And then once you get in, don't quit. No matter what comes, don't quit. You may lose. You may lose. You may not have your deliverance. You may get thrown into the fiery furnace. But if not, I'm still not going to stop. I'm still not going to stop. I'm going to tell you right now, preacher was down. We didn't stop. Because we serve God, not him. We serve Christ. And he's worth it. What if your deliverance doesn't come? That's all right. Serve God anyhow. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I haven't been true to this message. I'll guarantee you that. Lord, there's times that, Lord, I've turned my back on you and you know it. And Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord God, I didn't want to quit. I didn't have in my mind to be a church misser. But Lord, sometimes I've missed it. Lord, sometimes I didn't tell that soul about you. Sometimes I took a day off of you. Oh God, please forgive me. Lord, I don't believe I'm preaching just to myself right now. Oh, there may be some that are thinking about quitting because their deliverance hasn't come. There may be some thinking about throwing in the towel because they don't think you've treated them right. Oh God, please don't let them quit. Oh God, please don't let them stop, because frankly, they're not owed your deliverance. And we need to serve you anyhow. Lord God, don't let the folks that are getting ready to quit, quit. Oh God, please. They're not here on accident. And I know they're going through hard times. I know they're going through big problems. I'm well aware of that. And God, you are too. And Lord, I believe those three Hebrew boys getting thrown into the fiery furnace were in a pickle themselves. But they made the decision long before that furnace that they were going to serve God whether you delivered them or not. Lord, help us to do the same. Help us to forget about the things that have hurt us in the past. Help us to realize that we've got a great grand ability that's been given to us by you through your grace, and we ought to use it. Help us, Lord, to see that someday there's going to be ultimate deliverance. But until then, we need to serve you even if there's not earthly deliverance, because you're worth it. Help us not to quit. Help us not to stop. Help us not to lose faith. Help us to serve you with everything we've got, a pure heart, fervently. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say, I know that I know that I know that I've accepted the ultimate deliverance? I've asked the Lord to save me. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I've asked the Lord to save me. He's come into my heart. I know that I'm going to heaven if I died right now. I know it, I know it, I know it. Can you put your hands up real big and tall? I know that I'm saved. You may put them down. Not everybody raised their hand. I appreciate your honesty. I give you my word. I give you my word. I will not come to you. I will not single you out. I do not want to embarrass you. But I've got to be honest with you. I don't want you to leave here not knowing Christ. I don't want you to leave here not accepting that ultimate deliverance of heaven. And that deliverance is delivering you from hell, which is also eternal. Because hell really does exist. You can't religion it out. It's there. It's waiting for people that don't know him. Never prepared for them. But that's where you're going to have to go if you don't accept him. So how many are willing to say with an uplifted hand, I need to get saved. I need to know him as my Savior. I need him, I need him, I need him. Because if you don't know, then you're probably not saved and you need to be saved. It's not a Baptist term, it's a Bible term. And you need to accept him today. How many would be willing to say, I need to get saved? Can you put your hands up real big and tall? Is there anyone? And that means I'm talking to a room full of saved people. Ah. You know what, Christian? We are not going to get delivered on every single thing like we think. But your deliverance should not make you serve Him. You should serve Him because you love Him. You should serve Him because He's wonderful. You should serve Him because He deserves it. You should serve Him because He's your God. That's why. Whether you get delivered or not, He's your God. Dear Lord, I thank You again for the honor and opportunity that is to preach Your word. Oh Lord God, help me to not fail serving You. I'm begging You, God, I need You. Please help me. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together, please. Brother John, what are you singing?